Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the blessings that you've given us. And Lord, we pray that you would bring hunger for the word of God, not only in this church, but in others. Lord, that those of your people would not be satisfied until we heard from you. Lord, this country, this continent, this world needs Jesus Christ. We need to hear from you, Lord. We need your presence, your guidance, your love. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about meditation, about meditating on the Word of God and the benefits of it. The person that meditates day and night, the Bible says in Psalm 1, will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And we need to remember the importance of this, because all of us want to prosper. All of us want God's best in our lives. And the trouble is, we're rushed. How many of you were not rushed at some point this past week? Seems like we get up in the morning and we have 36 hours of stuff to cram into 24 hours of day. And that's not including the sleep time. And we start and we've become a society of microwave ovens and instant breakfasts and power energy drinks in the car. And you see people, you know, you've seen them on the road, haven't you? They're texting, driving, putting on their makeup, eating their food, and all of that while they're going down the expressway. And you wonder if it's safe anymore to venture out on the expressway, because people have to get stuff done. We're such a hurried society. We work 24/7, 365. And God doesn't want us to live that way. That's why God instituted a Sabbath. One day in seven, the world can do without you. Do you believe that? I don't think any of us do, because we don't take one. And that has to do with our meditation also. Meditation takes time. Meditation cannot be done in an instant. You will never find a microwave meditation machine. Meditation involves waiting. Learning about the Lord involves waiting. And we don't like to wait. We want everything so fast. We want overnight shipping. We would love a Star Trek transporter to get us from point A to point B so we didn't have to drive. And yet the Bible talks about the importance of waiting on the Lord. And we looked at the passage today, and if we're going to listen to the Lord, we will require to wait. So let's look at this passage in Isaiah for a moment. Isaiah chapter 40. And Isaiah realizes there's nothing new under the sun. We've gotten better at being impatient, but people have always been impatient. And so in Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 26, he says, "Lift up your eyes and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them by name, by the greatness of his might and strength and his power, not one is missing." He says, look out at the stars, look out at the hosts, look out at the universe. I've created all this, and it moves at its own speed. And I'm in control of every last molecule, every last atom, everything that happens there. I know it by name. Which is really good, because sometimes I even forget my own name. And he's there and he says, I know all these things. And then he comes in the next verse. Listening involves waiting. He says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God?" He says, why are you thinking that I'm not hearing you? Why when you pray and you come before my throne and you listen, that I'm not hearing. You're complaining that, oh God, you're being too slow. You've lost it in the stack. You know, like the city of McAllen does with permits and stuff.
You left me a prayer request? Golly, I'll have to go back and check.
God does not for an instant forget our just claims. When you come boldly before the throne of grace, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, you will get help in time of need. But you will get help in time of need, and not one second before. And the trouble is, we want our help before. And see, God is like the guy in those old westerns. You know, the lady that's tied on the track, and the train's coming, and she's going, help, help, help. And the train's coming around the curve, and there's nobody there. Help, help, help. And there comes the guy, the cowboy on his horse. And it comes on up. He goes there, and there he is, and he's untying it. And the train goes by and clips off one little lock of her blonde hair as he pulls her off the track. And the girl looks at the cowboy and says, oh, my lone stranger, why didn't you come here 5 minutes ago? You put me through all this. I had to wait till that train was inches away. But you're safe, aren't you? And God's grace comes at the right time. Even in salvation, He sent His Son, He says, in the fullness of time. Galatians 4:4. So if we're going to be listening to the Lord, if we're going to be hearing His voice, we cannot be impatient. We cannot walk away. We cannot turn our back until He is ready to speak. And He knows exactly when He needs to speak. See, our complaint is, God, you're not hearing me. God, you're not listening to me. God doesn't hear my prayer. And God answers them in verse 28. He says, have you not known? Listen to this. Have you not what? Heard. He says, the point is not, am I listening to you? God says, I'm listening to you all the time. The question is, have you heard? Are you listening to me? To my speaking in your word, to my speaking in your circumstances. Because God's circumstances speak to you. Nothing enters your life but that which is for your good and mine. If you love God, if you're called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. You need to be on those tracks till one instant before that train comes. Why? Don't ask me. I'm not God. But He says you do. So what He wants you to do is not complain, oh God, you're not answering my prayer yet. Oh God, you're not helping me. Oh God, why is it this? What He wants us to do is turn around to these things and listen to Him. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. But we get impatient, don't we? We're like Paul. The messenger of Satan comes and torments his flesh, and he cries out to God, and he cries out again, and he cries out again, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us. Take it away. It's a messenger of the devil. Surely you don't want a messenger of the devil on me. And God says, you don't understand, Paul. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. The messenger stays, but I'm there. Listen to your circumstances and bring them under the Word of God. They're hard. They're almost unbearable. They're 1 millimeter from being unbearable, but they are bearable. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that no trial or no temptation has taken you, but it's just common to man. You only get human temptations and trials and tribulations. You don't get Martian ones. You got the kinds humans get, and you're able to bear them, and God will provide a way of escape. Usually the way of escape is into His arms. Just let Him hold you as the trial goes on. So we need to remember when we're saying, "Oh God, are you listening? Oh God, are you listening? Oh God, you're not hearing. Oh God, are you hearing?" He's turning to you and saying, "Are you listening?" You know, Paul went through a whole lot of trials and tribulations. You read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and you see. He was shipwrecked, he was stoned, he was left for dead. He ran around chased by his countrymen, chased by the Romans, chased by thieves. He lost friends, he had people betray him, he had all sorts of things happen. Philippians chapter 4 tells us the result of that, doesn't it? I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. It's a learned thing, contentment is. And it comes from remembering that God is there no matter what. That we listen to our circumstances and we see God's hand in them. In betrayals from our friends, in financial tribulation, in struggles and divisions in our churches, God is working in you and me. And this is what listening to the Lord is about. See, God is not into small talk. God is not into trying to get us satisfied as to our curiosity. This is what really bothers me about these future predictors. Camping and all his crowd. It's not even so much that he keeps on trying to guess dates. It's that the whole thing becomes a sort of a predict the future, pin the tail on the future donkey game. Let's see how we can match up the headlines. Let's see how we can... Oh, this is fun. Look, I found another piece to the puzzle. And it doesn't change our lives. His promise is that those that wait will rise up. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Or the other way around. It's not natural strength. He says in verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. You look at your natural strength. You look at your muscles. I watch Kevin. Kevin is my workout boy right now at home. I'll tell you, that guy spends all his time in the weight room and everything. He's looking at him, you know, and looks like, I look so good. Looks in the mirror. And he does. But you know what? There are times he gets tired. I find him crashed out and he's out of it. Those that wait upon the Lord shall soar. In the midst of your circumstances, you'll soar if you wait. And I heard one preacher who couldn't get the... You know, it's amazing how it's in our mind. You know, that we don't like to wait. And one preacher who didn't go back to the Hebrew, he says, well, that wait there is sort of like waiting on tables. You got to do... It's not waiting on tables. It's waiting.
It's saying, God, in your time, not in mine, things will happen. Meanwhile, I'll wait for your voice. Now, see, the whole point is, that's why trials are there. Trials are meant to produce patience. Everything that comes in our life is meant to help us to wait, to help us to listen. And if we don't take it, we get another lap around the desert. See, I found that out when I used to work at Aetna. I worked at Aetna for 24 years. I hated that job. Sitting on phones all day, and people calling with their questions and their problems, and, oh, you messed up my claim. I didn't touch your claim, lady. Some other person did. But I got to fix it. And it's the customer service. They always put it on you. You did it. No, I didn't do it. Some other person did it. And I really, really hated that job. And I kept on saying, God, I hate that job. I hate that job. And God said, are you content? No, I'm not content. I just told you I hate that job. All right, one more lap around the desert. And I'd have to go back, and there's another year of Aetna, I hate that job. When I finally got to the point where I said, Lord, thank you for that job. It's not my favorite job. It's not my calling, but I'll do it to you. And God finally said, okay, you can leave the desert now. When I had learned contentment, he stopped me from taking laps at that place. I wish I hadn't been so hard-headed. I might have got it a lot sooner than 24 years. Trials are meant to produce patience. Count it all joy, James says, when you fall into diverse trials, for knowing that the trial of your faith produces patience. And actually, more accurately, the word should be perseverance. And not just sort of sitting back. But trials produce the ability to wait contentedly. That's how I would put that. Because it's a flavor of the fruit of the Spirit. I always talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is sort of tutti-frutti. It has lots of different flavors. Love, joy, peace. And then what? Oh, we hate that next one. We love joy. We love love. We love peace. It's that long suffering that we really think. Lord, could you have not left that flavor out? Keep me the love, keep me the joy, keep me the peace, keep me the goodness, the gentleness. I'll take all those. Just that long suffering. It's like, hold the pickles, I don't want that one. But without that one, the other ones don't last. Without being able to be persevering and patient and long suffering, the love goes away and the joy goes away at the first sign of trouble. It's the glue that holds the rest of them together. And we need it. We hate it, but we need it. And so we need to understand that God is building in us the ability to love through storms. The ability to be at peace through spiritual and emotional hurricanes. To take physical disasters and still see the joy. Paul in prison, rejoicing in the Lord always. And again he says, rejoice. And this is what God wants us to listen for. Now the thing about listening is that listening and waiting is not a passive thing. See, waiting on the Lord is not like waiting in a doctor's office. Where you're just sitting there watching a kid, who's tearing up the magazines on the table. And I wish I could grab him and show him what's for. But you're just sitting there in a doctor's office and you're waiting for the doctor. You've already filled out the form. They give you these 6-page forms and fill out. And, it takes an hour and then you think, now surely he'll see me. And he says, no, not yet. It's not like waiting in a doctor's office. God's waiting is not a passive waiting. He wants us to learn through the waiting. We're to grow in the waiting. The waiting is the experience. The waiting is the key.
See, when you go to a doctor's office and you wait, you're wasting time, basically. I mean, you know, the thing is to see the doctor, not to sit in his waiting room. But for God, in His life with us, the waiting is the thing. It's not wait until this happens and then everything will be good. The waiting is the experience. And so it involves certain things. First of all, it involves courage. To wait for the Lord involves courage. If we look at Psalm 27, verse 14. Psalm 27, 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's going to take courage to wait on the Lord. You're going to want to run. You're going to want to do something else. You're going to want to change. You're going to have to stand on your convictions that God will come through. So you need to strengthen yourself in courage. 27:14. You've got to look that storm in the eye and say, I'm standing here. I'm not running. I'm facing it. It involves rest and not fretting. Look at Psalm 37. Verse 7. Rest on the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. It means you sit there and you rest in the Lord and you don't worry. You don't say, oh, everything is going to pieces and oh, it's so bad. And look at that guy and he's doing bad and it's working out for him. Believe me, it won't work out. Remember what Isaiah's people were saying to him, to God? Says, has my just claim been overlooked? I'm doing the right thing. They're doing the wrong thing. They're prospering and I'm sitting here. Why, God? Waiting says rest. Delight in me. Earlier in the same psalm, right? Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Rest in Him. He has it under control. I believe in the sovereignty of God. It's a comforting doctrine. So we need to not fret. Oh, look, why does so-and-so's church prosper and he's teaching that garbage and look at me and I'm teaching this and mine. Why, God? Just rest. Don't fret. Enjoy me, God says. It involves keeping His way. Same psalm. Verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. While we're waiting, we're continuing to keep His way. While we're waiting, we're doing the daily things that are in that path of good works that Ephesians 2:10 says He's got for us. It doesn't matter if we don't see any fruit from them. It doesn't matter if it looks like they're all falling on dry ground. It doesn't matter any of these things. You just keep going. He will bring it to pass. If you're going to wait in a doctor's office, you might as well bring something good to do, right? Bring your Tabitha project or something like that and make, you know, I made 3 quilts and I still haven't gotten out of the doctor's office. But God has filled your time with something to do. He's made you a path of good works that you may walk therein. Keep His way. Even if we don't see the results, He will use that to bring the results. It involves crying out. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and what? And heard my cry. Now, when I'm talking about cry, that involves all of you. Not just our intellect. A lot of us pray like this. You know, we've got this terrible situation and we're, dear Lord, help me in this terrible situation. Do you think that's how Peter sounded when he was sinking after he was walking on the water?
He's going down here. Dear Lord, when it's time for you, you just help me.
Lord, help me! Cried out. I waited patiently. I was in a horrible pit. I was in the miry clay. I'm sinking. I'm up to my chin in mud. Lord, I haven't got anything but you. Help me. Cry out to your Abba, to your Father. It involves a life of heartfelt, strong, crying out prayer. There may be tears and anguish, and yes, fear. He knows. Do you want to hear His voice? Present to Him your real face. Take the mask off. C.S. Lewis's novel, Till We Have Faces, uses that as a title. There's a scene in it where he says, I understand now. You know, people say, I want to meet God face to face. How can He meet us face to face until we have faces? Till we're stripped off all the stuff and we're ready to listen. It involves a settled hope in His Word. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His Word I do hope. In His Word I do hope. That's why I can wait, because God promises, I will answer. Call on me and I will answer. But He says in James chapter 1, that whoever asks of Him, let him ask not doubting. For a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. They're like the waves of the sea. Oh yes, oh God's going to answer. Oh no, oh yes, oh no. Believe it. He will answer. And last, it involves a constant decision. Conscious decision not to take matters into your own hands. Don't do things your way. There is a way that seems right to a man, but that way is the way of death. Remember Abraham and Sarah. You're going to have a child, Abraham. Not only are you going to have a child, a nation is going to grow from you. But Sarah's old. Sarah can't have any kids. Look at the stars, Abraham. Can you count the stars? You're going to have a child. And one day Sarah says, ain't going to be through me. Look at me. I'm an old lady. I'm not going to be carrying any children. Here, see this Egyptian woman? See Hagar over here? Have one with her. Worst decision practically in the whole scripture. we're still suffering from the consequences of that one. The whole Middle East conflict is a problem of Hagar and Sarah. Well, God said I'm going to have a child, so I'm going to have a child. Let me figure this out. My lady's too old. We'll just get a younger lady. Have a child. This is the one, right, God? No. Ishmael is the one, right? No. Sarah shall bear your child. Well, God, I've waited and waited and waited and waited. You took it into your own hands and you did it your way. Anyone can have a child just about the natural way. That doesn't exalt me, God says. I want you to have a child the supernatural way. Then I get the glory. Because I keep my promises. When God has said He's going to do something, He'll do it. Wait. Don't stick your hand in it. Do it His way. And He will get the glory and you will get the joy. And that's what He wants. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your beautiful, wonderful word. And Lord, we understand that listening will involve waiting. Because You speak when You're ready. But Lord, that if we wait it out, we will rise up as eagles. Because Jesus Christ has shown us Himself. Lord, He waited till the fullness of time to come down born of a woman and die for our sins and pay for our sins. And because He did, we have eternal life. And Lord, Satan offered it to Him earlier, quicker, faster, easier. And He turned away the temptation. Not to do it man's way, but to do it Your way. Lord, help us like Christ to wait and hear and see the glory of the Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.